Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Pastor Al, for that kind introduction. It's an honor for me to be here with you. I think this is my probably third or fourth time here in this place. And something that impressed me very much, he always reserved a room outside for me and also for your other speakers. So I love this church. Amen. Yeah. I love the stories that were shared to me about how this building was built, a miracle. I love the singing a while ago, very moving, moved my heart. And the wrap-up of Pastora Citas, it really blessed me. So I understand that you had debt-free seminars, and some couples have done it. So this is your, like, graduation. And so I'm so honored to be here. And you know, the last chapter of the debt-free lifestyle is the 10-20-70 principle, talking about tithing and giving. And I was asked to talk about that. And the topic today is... Is it working? Yeah, here we are. See. Right. So the title given to me is Treasure Test, Honoring God with Our Wealth. And the wealth that God has given us is not just about money. It is our time, talent, and treasures. And Campus Tuset used the acronym LIFE. L means leadership or labor. I means influence. F is, of course, finance, and E is expertise. Now, I understand some of you are quite expert in IT, jewelry making, engineering, and many other things. So we are going to talk about some of these things. Okay. So I retitled the talk into Blessings Upon Blessing. In other words, you want blessing? You want more blessings. And it is based on quite a number of scriptures. Basically, Haggai chapter 1 and chapter 2, Haggai, and Malachi chapter 3. So when you go home, you might want to read that one again to check whether what I'm telling you is correct or not. No, in the Bible, there's a group of people called the Bereans. So whenever they heard Paul and other people preach, they went home and checked the Bible to see whether the pastor is speaking the correct thing or not. So check me up, okay, in these three verses. And for easy remembrance, I'm using the acronym NAME. You know, the debt-free uses the acronym ABCDEFGHI10, right? So today, acronym is NAME. Name, the source of blessing upon blessing. Name, the reason why some people are not blessed. So this is the acronym that we will talk about today. Before we continue, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this church, for the wonderful people who are serving, actively serving you, loving you. The song that was sung a while ago was so moving, Amazing Grace, and lift up people from brokenness to life. So Lord, this is what you're going to do to us today, and we thank you in advance. Many of us are broken emotionally, health, finances, socially. Lord, lift us up today. Help us to remember today as the day that changed our life, changed our attitude, changed our love toward you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen. 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 All right. So, blessing upon blessing, NAME. Let's read the verses together in Malachi 3, 8 to 9. Ready, go. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me of tithes and offerings due me. And so the awesome curse of God is cursing you. And Haggai chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. On this day, when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, from this day onward, I will bless you. Let's read it one more time. These are the sum of the key verses we're going to talk about. Ready? One, two, three. Malachi Go. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me of the tithes and offerings due me. And so the awesome curse of God is cursing you. Haggai 2:18-19. On this day, when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, from this day onward, I will bless you. All right, let's go one by one. Here, give your life to the Lord, leadership or labor, influence, finance, and expertise, and also, of course, time, talents, and treasure. So we are not just talking about money, but our body, our strength, our wisdom, our skills, everything together, right? But we're using money as an illustration, so it's easier to understand. Now, I saw a survey many years ago. It says that among the Christians in the States, 20% do not go to church, 25% do not pray, 30% do not read the Bible. Are you there, part of it? not. 40% do not tithe, 60% do not give to mission, 75% do not serve, 90% do not share the gospel, but many of you are sharing, right, left and right, but 100% want to go to heaven. Yeah, we belong to that group. Hopefully not in the above. So, tithes and mission, 40 to 60% are not giving. They thought it's somebody's job. So we need to change that. Now, Proverbs 11:24, let's read together. It is possible to give freely and become more wealthy, but those who are stingy will lose everything. So the more corrupt we are, okay? All right. We don't want to do that. So these are the two chapters we are... Okay, we start with N. What does N mean? N means people who are not giving. People who are not giving, what kind of blessings will they get? Haggai 1:6, let's read together. You have planted much, but harvested little. You have food, but not enough to fill. Drink, not enough for thirst. You have clothing to wear, but not enough to keep you warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. Now, we are not worried about warm clothing, right? Because it's too hot in the Philippines. But the other thing, about holes in the pocket, you put money in and they just disappear. We have all experienced that. Let's continue. You expected much. Let's read. You expected much, but see, it turned to be little. What you brought home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Yes. Yeah, okay, thank you. All right, thank you very much. So, these are the warning in Haggai. So, people who are not giving, the result, the blessing is not much. Also N, start with N, right? So Haggai 1:6 says, planted much, harvested little, food, not enough, drink, not enough, clothing, not warm, wages disappear, pockets filled with holes. I'm sure many of us are experiencing some of this. So this is a lesson for you to turn things around, okay? Yes? Are you asleep? Yes?
Yes.
All right. So then also in Malachi 3:8-9, it says, let's read, will a man rob God? You have robbed me of the tithes and offerings due me, and so the awesome curse of God is cursing you. We thought that not giving tithe is just smart. Keep the money to ourselves. But the Bible says there is a curse. Not just a curse, it is an awesome curse. Awesome curse of God instead of blessing. When I was younger, I was working with a family business. And because it was family, staying in the same house, eating the same food, I was practically not receiving salary. And because I was not receiving salary, I was not tithing. I don't remember people telling me to tithe. I don't remember pastors preaching about tithing. But maybe our pastor did, but I was not listening, or I refused to listen, as some of us are. And I can remember the many years of terrible years. Interests were high, banks don't want to give loan, sales is difficult, customers don't want to pay. And every day I was in super stress, just trying to balance the check that we have for deposit and the checks we have issued out. It was really, really a bad time for me. I was under a curse and I did not know it. Some of you may be experiencing the same. So this is a little eye opener for you. One of our church members, she's very funny. Their business was okay. And when we were talking about tithing, giving, later on I was giving already. So I was talking to this lady, and she was telling people, I don't need to tithe because I belong to Jesus. I'm 100% Jesus. So everything I have belongs to Jesus, therefore I don't have to tithe. See? Bad logic. Later on I learned that their business went kaput, everything gone, everything disappeared. There are a story of two pastors. Story. They were talking, seated together, and discussing church, discussing sermons, discussing members. And one of them said, you know, I have a problem with our people. Not many of them want to tithe. They don't tithe. So our church is just surviving. How about you, pastor? And the other pastor said, oh, in my church, everybody tithe. Your church, everybody tithe? And the second pastor said, yeah. Some of them do it voluntarily. Some of them, the Lord just take it away. Okay? It's a joke, but there's a very harsh lesson there. So, let's read together. And not giving, the result is one, not much, two, curse. One more time. And not giving, the result is not much and curse. All right? So giving tithe, we can summarize like brings in the blessing and keeps out the curse. It is the same money. I used to have wallet. I'm not holding wallet anymore. The same wallet with the money, if you keep that in your pocket, it's possible you bring in the curse. But if you give it out, it will bring in the tithe. Okay? Now, this is not prosperity gospel or anything like that. So don't take it to the extreme. Okay? This is just an enlightening light for you to see where the money goes and the result of that. So somebody gave the quotation, actually from my wife many years ago. Let's read together. Give according to your income, lest God makes your income according to your giving. All right, the smaller the giving, the smaller the blessing. The bigger the giving, the bigger the blessing. Amen? Amen. All right. So what is N? One more time. N, not giving. The result is one, not much, and two, curse. Second, A means to give according to. Second Corinthians, of course, some people now are saying, oh, we are New Testament. We are not Old Testament. No talk about tithing anymore. Well, Paul says in Second Corinthians, ready, go. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a tearful giver. The more you give, the more you cry, right? Check your Bible. See what the Bible says? No, let's go one more time. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You must be happy when you give. We cannot force it, right? Why do we give? The reason we give is to acknowledge that the blessing comes from God. Okay? God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need our 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever. But by giving, it's like showing our love to God. Like you in your family. Okay, some of you, you are young, so your parents give you education, give you home, give you food. Now that you are working, some of you are giving money to your parents. Why? Maybe they need it, but maybe they don't. But by giving money to them, it is showing that you love them. You recognize that it was they who raised you up. Thank you for the blessing. Here's a little bit back to you. Same thing with God, okay? Cheerful giver. But we will use the tithe as an example, okay? Let's read together. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. If you do, I will open the window of heaven, pour out the blessing so great you won't have enough room. Try it. Put me to the test. You know the story of Noah and the flood? He went into the boat. The windows of heaven opened. All the rain came down. That's the picture. God said, tithe. Try me. I'll open the window. All right? Subukan mo ako. Tama ba? Tama yung Tagalog? Right. Try me. All right? So many people have tried, and they have experienced good things. In our church, there was a young man. My wife and I, some other people, we started a church in Makati because many of us came from churches in downtown Manila. And people started buying houses in Makati, and all of us were going back to Quezon City, to Manila, to Pasig, wherever. So we said, why don't we have one in Makati para more people will be convenient? And so that's what we did. We built a church. We had started with a very small church, about 50 people, then eventually grew a little bit bigger. And there was a young man who looked at us and said, why are you guys giving money, you know, to do this and do that? So it was explained to him about principle of tithing, and then he started to tithe. His business was bad. He just gave, when he made 1,000 pesos, he gave 100. When he made 2,000 pesos, 200. And because my wife is a treasurer in the church, so we see the donation coming in. So eventually his money was 500, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, 100,000. So apparently God was blessing him as he continued to tithe. I will continue with that story. His business was going bankrupt at that time, but he started tithing the 100 pesos, 200 pesos. We'll continue the story of this young man. But if you give according to, what is the blessing? Abundant blessing. When the windows of heaven open, God can pour out so much blessing, it's like getting flooded. Okay? Not only is the blessing abundant when we give according to, by the way, there are some exceptions also, so don't think I'm talking about health and wealth, prosperity gospel. Wala pa yan. We'll go somewhere. The other blessing that we will get is found in Haggai. Let's read one more time. On this day, when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, from this day forward, I will bless you. Remember the reason God said your money was taken away, there's no fruit, there's pocket, hole in the pocket? Because my house, the temple, was in ruin and you don't care. Everybody's busy with his own business, with trying to make money for themselves. The people repented. And they started saying, okay, we got to take care of the Lord's temple. Let's start to build. And so they dug the foundation. No walls, no column, no roof, just the foundation was dug. And God told them, from this day forward, the moment you start digging the foundation, I will bless you. Now, when we go to a restaurant, we eat. When do we give the tip? After eating, right? After the service is good. If you are sales, when you make sales, when do you get your commission? After you make the sales. We, human beings, we bless other people afterwards. But this God of ours is wonderful. He blessed us right at the start, before anything. Right? So the blessing of God... Yeah, praise the Lord. Blessing of God is not just abundant, opening the windows of heaven. He said, test me. From this day the foundation was laid, I will bless you, which tells us that the blessing is advanced. Remember A, right? According to abundant and advanced. Isn't God good? Yeah, let's give the Lord a big hand. No wonder we will be cheerful when we give, because that's the kind of God that rewards us even before we deserve it. Even the fact that we are here in church, even the fact that you are born again, you are chosen to be a believer, to be a child of God. The Bible says, since the foundation of the earth, before you were even in your mother's womb, I already chose you. Wow. Now some people say, well, God is unfair. Look at the other side. We are chosen. Isn't God good? Amen. So his blessing also when we give according to is what? A, if we give according to A, what is the blessing? Abundant and advanced. All right. Third, M, N-A-M-E, more than. What happens when people give more than? Okay, I will not tell you how much we give, but one of the reasons we started the company, started by my wife's brother, and he invited others to join, was to bless churches. So we make a commitment when we want to join the company that if you join the company as a stockholder or as an employee where you get salary and bonus, we have to give a certain amount. Okay? And the amount is not only 10%. It's bigger than 10%. I will not mention the amount or percentage, but it's bigger. So we are giving more than. And what's the blessing for giving more than? Multiple. Again, M and M, right? Multiple blessings. For example, our company, 205, that's 19 years ago, we got an honor out of nowhere. You know, we were doing gospel meeting in Baguio. We have a drama team. We got a call. Wait, you know, we're going to be awarded. Not only this group awarded us, the former president gave us the national award as a leading condominium developer. We were very small at that time. For some reason, God gave us his honor. And then the next president, the vice president, gave us another award. So multiple blessings. Those are just unexpected out of nowhere. To God be the glory. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Wow. You recognize the young man there on the right side? Handsome, yes? Okay. No more now, yeah? But don't laugh. You are beautiful and handsome. One day you want to be also. All right. So take advantage of your youth to serve God in your energy. So giving more than, you get multiple blessing. I will give you another example, which somebody I just met about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. He's an American. And when he was young, he got saved. And then he was going in, his father was in business. He started to read all the Bible verses about money. And he came to a conclusion that there are certain principles about money. So what he did, and this is the business, they are in crane, you know, lifting heavy stuff. But after many years, this is how big their business is. That upper left corner, that truck, I think he said there are 100 wheels, gulung. There's another truck that says 200 wheels. So, of course, he charged a lot of money, okay? So that's the kind of business after many years. But when he was 25, here, he came here about 2 weeks ago, he and his brother talk, says, you know, are we going to make money for ourselves or does the company belong to God? And they said, this is God's company. And they decided when they were 20, 25 years old that 50% of the profit of that company is going to go to ministry. That's big, very big. They also like to do missions. So they were in, I think, Arab countries. And his father wrote them a letter saying, you know, you are going on mission. I'm working. But me and your mother, we decided to go on a sailboat around the world. Now, if you want to go continue your mission stuff, we will sell the company. But if you decide to take over and run the company, we'll leave the company for you to run. But we are going on a sailboat. And they did. for I think, I don't know, 6 months or more, they were going around the world. So these two young people started talking, what shall we do with this company? And they decided the company belonged to the Lord, and they make the decision 50%. So the first year they went into the business, they don't even know they can make money or not. But after 1 year, this is what happened. They were able to donate $50,000, which is 2.5 million pesos. They did not expect that profit. Second year was $150,000, which is 7.5 million pesos, three times. And then they continued. One day, I don't know the year, they decided this company 100% belonged to the Lord. So they donate the entire company to a foundation, and they just get salary. So if the company grows, it grows for the mission. They just continue getting salary. The salary was $40,000, and then later on was $150,000. And when the children grew up, he dropped the salary to $100,000. So all the company profit goes to mission. And what happened after they gave 100% to the Lord? They were giving $1 million, which is 50 million pesos, 20 times the original. And then their salespeople said, sir, how about if we set the target, instead of $1 million a year, let's set a target to give $1 million a month. That was their target. And what happened? Well, they were giving $1 million a month, so $12 million a year, which is now 600 million, 240 times the original. And according to him, this was many years ago, last year, you know how much they gave? $25 million, $1.2 billion, 550 times of their original amount. This is what happened. Using their example, when they gave more than, very big more than, 100%, I'm sure there are hardly any other people who do that. But when you give more than, the blessing is what? Multiple. Okay. You can check his name, Alan Barnhart. There's a video. I think I sent one to Pastor Al. You might want to play it one time. Hear it from the horse's mouth. Now, another person who gave more than is David. Remember David? He was in this palace, and one day he said, what am I doing in this palace while the Lord's tabernacle is still in the tent? So he told the prophet. Prophet said, okay, go ahead. As you desire, go build God's house. So he had the desire to build God's house. David said to Nathan, here I am living in the palace of cedar, that means very expensive wood, while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent. How can that be? Nathan said, go ahead. But then the Lord told Nathan, go back, and told him, did I ever ask you to give? In other words, the desire to build God's temple came from David. It's not God inspiring him to give. He had this heart to build God's temple. Then, what else? The word came to Nathan, says, I did not tell you to do it, which means, good job, man. You got a good idea. He was giving sacrificially. Of course, he was the king, so he used the empire, kingdom, to collect so much gold, so much wood, etc. But something very interesting to note. He says there, 1 Chronicles 29, 3 to 4. Let's read together. I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold, silver. And he gave more than 112 tons of gold, 262 tons of silver. You know, gold, now we are talking about ounces, right? Your gold ring is what? Not even how many grams. Not kilos, not tons. This 112 tons of gold, how much is that? That's according to a computation of 80,000 per kilo. He gave $9 billion in today's term. His own money, aside from the country's money. So he was giving sacrificially. Then also silver is worth millions and millions. I did not update the computation. The gold price is today's price. Okay? And the Lord said, you want to give money? I will give you. Let's read together. First Chronicle. The Lord says, I will make your name famous. I will subdue all your enemies. I will build a house for you, a dynasty of kings. You want to build me a house? Oh, I'm going to give you this. All of those things. Multiple blessings. Okay? And Bible says David ruled for 40 years. He died at a ripe old age, enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. That's everything people need. One, right? Old age, long life, honor, wealth. A dynasty of king, long life, wealth, honor, and great success. Wow. David just had this desire to give as much as he can to the Lord. And the Lord just poured all the blessings on him. Not only that, David ruled 40 years. His son ruled also 40 years. And each year, Solomon received a gold of about 25 tons of gold. Every year, 25 tons. So when we give more than, not only do we get multiple blessings, we are going to get multi-generational blessing. That means your children and children's children. Okay? So if you want to bless your children, this is one way to look into. So let's look at M. What does M stand for? M, more than, and the blessing is multiple and multi-generational. Okay? Then the Bible says, during Solomon's reign, silver and gold were as plentiful in Jerusalem as bato. Not general bato, but bato, stone. Okay? Can you imagine gold is just as plenty as... Wow! Amazing. Ano ba? Let's compare. King David and King Solomon, we are talking about multi-generational blessing. He was king for 40 years. David, Solomon also, 40 years. David had the heart to build. Solomon was the one who built God's temple. He got silver, David, 262 tons. During Solomon's time, silver were like stone. David gave 112 tons of gold. How much did Solomon get? 25 times a year times 40. Get your calculator. 1,000 tons. David gave 112 tons. His son got 1,000 times. More than almost 9-10 times. Isn't God amazing? That's why we need to be a cheerful giver. Can you repeat? Cheerful giver. One more time. Cheerful giver. That young man that I talk about who was bankrupt, who asked people, why are you giving? He was explained. He started to give 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. Eventually, he was giving out, he was printing Bible and giving out millions and millions of copies. Some of you may be able to guess who that is. But he was also giving more than. And during COVID, when all business was kaput, I asked him, how's your business? Oh, he said, our business went up. Everybody else's business went down, his business went up because he was giving more than. And he became a millionaire, multimillionaire. I don't want to use the other word that starts with a B, but it is quite possible. Okay? So we have so far talked about not caring, and the result is what? N, not caring, not much, and curse. And then if A is according to, and the blessing is abundant and advanced, then we talk about giving more than, and the blessing is multiple and multi-generational. Then we get to the last point. Even if. Now, some of you were probably saying, oh, I'm having so much problem. How can I give anything at all? Don't have enough food to eat. I'm in debt, etc. Well, in debt, the debt-free lifestyle book might be able to help you. But there are other things. You know, my hair is white. I've lived more years than most of you. I realize that God tests us two ways. First is God tests some people with abundance, with riches. When people are poor, you know, they love God, they pray. When they got good business, lots of money, they don't need God anymore. They start playing, they start enjoying life, and they forgot church. They failed the test of abundance. The other test that God gives is hardship, poverty. Some people, when they have hardship, what kind of God? I don't like you. I don't want you. But other people got drawn closer to God. So you have a choice when you are tested with hardship, whether to draw closer or to go further away. Those two kind of tests, and I think if you and I are able to pass those tests, congratulations, okay? So, what do we mean, even if? Does it mean that if you are a Christian, you're going to live happily ever after? Does it mean that if you are tithing and giving money, you're going to live happily ever after, blessing all your life? Yes or no? Answer. The answer is no. Okay, well, okay, one more time. Does it mean if you are a Christian, if you are tithing, you're going to live happily ever after? The answer is?
No.
Well, louder. The answer is?
No.
All right. Because it's a principle. It's a God testing us. Why do we say that the answer is no? Peter, the story of, you remember the rich young man that went to the Lord and bowed and said, Lord, what must I do to earn eternal life? And the Lord says, you know the commandments. And this young man said, oh, since I'm a young man, I followed and do all of this. What else must I do? And Jesus said, well, sell all you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. And what happened to that young man? He went away very sad. Okay? And then the Lord said to Peter and the other disciple, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go into the needle of an eye. And Peter, who was apparently a well-to-do fisherman, businessman, said, Lord, harder for a rich man to go into heaven? How about us? We gave everything for you. What are we going to get? And the Lord says, well, for you who have left houses, brothers, sisters, family, etc., you're going to get 100 times. 100 times. Both in Matthew and Mark, another place. 100 times. That sounds good, right? Similar to what we are talking about. All right. And then, what else did Jesus said? Which is now very strange. If you give up things for me, you will get 100 times, and you will inherit the eternal life. And in Mark says, you will have eternal life. That confused me a while. Uh-oh, what does it mean? We earn eternal life by giving up things and giving to the Lord? But the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's supposed to be a gift. It's supposed to be faith. But it says there, you will inherit and you will earn if you do this. So that confused me a little. Confused you? Who got confused with this now? Raise your hands. You're not. You're very smart. The key is there. It says there, for my sake. There are many people, Buddhists, they give so much money, but they are giving it for other things. Jesus said, if you give it for my sake, you will have eternal life, which means you know about Jesus, you believe what Jesus said, you believe in Jesus, and therefore you are giving. So it's still salvation by faith, not by works. Got it? All right. So don't get confused. For my sake. Now it comes to the point of even if. So happy, happy. We'll inherit, we'll get 100 times. But look here in Mark 10. It says there, along with persecution. You get 100 times blessing along with persecution. In other words, there will be trials and testing too. So we should be prepared for that. So those health and wealth, prosperity gospel, they promise, yeah, you give 1,000 to me, you know, you get your Cadillac, you give 2,000 for me, you get a house. Don't believe those, okay? There will be persecution, and it's going to be hard a test for us. That's why in Habakkuk, it says there, let's read, trees, that's not bad, no grapes on the vine, crops fail, no food, no sheep, no cattle. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. This is an example set for us by Habakkuk. He was saying, no matter what happened, no money, no fruit, no harvest, I will still rejoice in the Lord. Will you do that? Yes? Those of you who are in hardship, will you still rejoice in the Lord? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Hebrews gave us the same principle. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about all the heroes of faith. By faith, some conquered kingdoms. Some widows have their children dead, rise from the dead again. Amazing victory in faith. But there are some who were tortured, imprisoned, and put to death. So whether we receive good blessings from the Lord or we receive trials, we should stand firm, rejoice in the Lord, and continue with our faith. Amen?
Amen.
Be prepared to suffer. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations, trouble, but I've overcome the world. In other words, tribulation and trouble, part of life. Whether you're a Christian or not, you're going to get this thing anyway. It's not because, sometimes it's because you're a Christian that the enemy attacks you, but sometimes it's just normal part of life, okay? All right. And then Romans tell us this one. Let's read together. I read this a few days ago, and this is so familiar, but I was so moved when I realized what it means. Let's read together. Romans 8:32. What shall we say about such wonderful things as this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Continue. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? That's a promise of the Lord, that if he gives his son, there are many other things he will give us, including persecution and hardship. Jesus also suffered crucifixion. Okay, so we observe good or bad things from the Lord. In everything, give thanks by prayer, supplication. Thank God for good things and bad things. Very important lesson to learn in life. So, even if we are suffering, we have one assurance, being a child of God, that eventually we will have eternal blessing. Not eventually. Definitely, we are going to get eternal blessing. Martin Luther said, I've held so many things in my hands, and I've lost it all. But whatever I have placed in God's hand, that... Okay, let's read together. But whatever I place in God's hand, that I still possess. Whatever you give to the Lord, in the future, whether you prosper or not, it's already safe in heaven, waiting for us. That's what it means. So, this tells us that even if things are bad, there is eternal blessing waiting for us. But that is not all. There's another blessing for E, eternal blessing. Because Jesus, although he has no servant, he's called a master, no degree, he was called a teacher, no medicine, he was called a healer, although he had no army, kings feared him, He fought no battles, but he conquered the world. He committed no crime. They crucified him. He was buried, but he lives today. Amen. So, aside from eternal blessing, there is something called eventual blessing. If we are patient, endure the suffering, most often than not, we get eventual blessing. The story of Elijah, there was a drought, no food. Elijah was being fed by a crow, drinking water from the brook. The brook dried up. The Lord told Elijah, you go to Zarephath. There's a widow there. I already prepared. So he went to Zarephath, and he saw a woman gathering wood and collecting water. And he said to the widow, can you give me some water? So the widow got water, gave it to him. And he said, while you're doing that, make me a bread. You may think Elijah is unreasonable, right? You asked for water, now you want the bread again. And the widow said, sir, this is my last cup of flour. I'm gathering the wood, and I'm going to bake this bread. And me and my son will eat this bread, our last bread, and we will die. What did Elijah said? Again, very unreasonable. Don't worry. Give it to me first. Can you imagine your pastor said, you're hungry, give me food first. And this Elijah, God said, I prepared. So this widow had some experience with God before. When she heard that this prophet asking for the last bread that she's going to eat with his child, and by giving it to the prophet, she would have no more to eat. She gave him first. What happened? The Bible tells us that the flour in her room, in the house, and the oil in the house continued to flow. And they were able to eat every day because the flour just kept filling up, the oil just filling up until the famine was over. Lesson, if you put God first, look what happened to this widow. So not only does God promise us eternal blessings, he also promises us eventual blessing, like this widow who put God first. Another example, the widow at the time of Jesus. Remember, Jesus was standing at the temple and people were dropping money into the box. And then here came this widow with two very small mites, and she put it in. And Jesus said, this widow had given more than all the others, because all the others gave out of their excess. But this widow gave everything she had. And notice this widow had a choice. She had two coins. It's not one big coin. She has two coins. She could decide to give one. 50%, like Bernard. That's fantastic. But this widow gave both. Everything she had. Now, we don't know what happened to this widow. But I was thinking, if during the time of Elijah, and this widow had the last meal left, and she's going to go hungry forever, and God sent Elijah to bring this woman continuous flow of oil and flour. And now here in the New Testament is Jesus, and he saw this widow giving everything she had. Of course, it's not in the Bible, right? But just think logically. Do you think the Son of God, after seeing this and after knowing what happened to Elijah, look at her, she gave so much. Ooh, ooh. Okay, let's go. And just left her standing there and got hungry the rest of their life? You think that's what's going to happen? I don't think so. And one of the things I'm going to look forward to in heaven Sister Ashley Sweeta, what happened after Jesus saw you put in the two mites? Man, we're going to hear some nice stories. Okay? Another story. Another widow. Modern day. This happened, boy, when I was younger, all right? Maybe 40, 50 years ago. 30 years ago. There was this widow, actually one of my aunt. Her husband died, heart attack, at 60 years old, very young. So she was left with three kids. But before the husband died, she had three boys and her husband, and the business went bankrupt. They were very poor. Somebody told her son, when the father had a heart attack, he only had 2 pesos in his pocket. Poor, poor, poor. I mean, used to be very rich, but now poor. But this widow, before the husband died, had no money. So some relatives were giving her 3,000 pesos subsidy every month. Now, 3,000 pesos for three sons, house, food, it's not enough. But I heard later on from the son that my mother, every time she received the 3,000 pesos, she would separate 300 pesos and put it in a shelf. 3,000 pesos come, take 300 pesos, put in the shelf. And on Sunday, when she goes to church, she would take the 300 pesos, went to the church, and gave it to the church. This widow was tithing, even if she didn't have the money. Right? More than lacking. So, we see about the story of three widows. Now, let's get back to that eventually million young man, the one who didn't know about tithing. When he learned, he started tithing, and then he was giving Bible, millions of copies of Bible, giving definitely more than. And so the Lord blessed him, and he became a multimillionaire because of his giving. But the surprising thing is, this non-tithing, eventually multimillion young man, was the son of that woman who gave the 300 pesos. And I think the Lord blessed him, not just because of his tithing, but more so because of the 300 pesos of that widow. So, if you are not in the position, remember, if we give, not just the money, but including our leadership, our labor, our eye, influence, our finances, and our expertise, we will have eternal blessing, definitely, but we will have also eventual blessing. So the decision is yours. Now, I know some of you are, you know, in hardship, but you have talents, IT, engineering, gold. Maybe you're just a good cook. Maybe you're just a good carpenter. Whatever, small talent. Remember the story of the talent where the master gave his servant 10 talent, 5 talent, and 1 talent. The 10 made 10, the 5 made 5, and the 1 did nothing. Don't be like the one that did nothing. No matter how small your talent is, if you are willing to give to the Lord, if not, there's not much blessing, there's even curse. If you give according to your talent, your treasures, you have abundant blessing, advanced blessing. And if you give even more than, you have multiple blessing, multi-general blessing. Even if you think you are not able, you will have eternal blessing and also eventual blessing for you. So this is what we talk about. The message is ended. The decision is yours. And like the story of the 10-5-1 talent, one day the master is coming back. And when the master's come back, he's not going to ask how much you've done, but how much you have done with what he has given you, whether 10, 5, or 1, or even less talents. And he wants to find us, hopefully, faithful. So I want to give you some challenge. And can you please bow your heads, please? Just quietly reflect on what we have talked about and think of the wealth that God has given you, your labor, your skills, your influence, your connection. You may be a good PR person. Will you let God use you? You may have talents in working, cooking, making friends, visiting people. Are you going to willing to let God use you? First, I want you to first say, I do not want to belong to the end group, the one that is not giving. If that is your desire, can you raise your hand and say, no, I will not be belonging to those who will not give to the Lord. Can you raise your hands?